You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 399. Today is Sunday, April 29th, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And folks, please help out the podcast by spreading the word. Go to iTunes and write a review. Retweet the show links. Tell all your friends. We would appreciate it. All right, in tonight's show, we will discuss Ronald Acuna's arrival, Tehran and Gohara, Sunday's top of the order, and much more. But first, a quick break. So, clearly the only choice of headline to start this week's show is the Ronald Acuna Jr. era.
Joey Bautista watch.
Atlanta. Yeah,
sorry.
That.
Sorry.
It was. I did a coin flip.
Yeah, so they're both so close.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go back to last week. The Braves dropped the first two in Cincinnati. On the night that the Braves dropped that second game, Acuna went 2-for-4, including a double. In his last eight games for the Stripers, Acuna slashed .333, .405, .455 with a homer and a double. And what he's done since being called up is nothing short of incredible. So through Sunday's finale in Philadelphia, eight hits in 19 at-bats, four of those eight hits are doubles, and one is a homer. He has shown off his incredible speed. He's made a great diving catch in the outfield. He shot a ball through the left side that was the hardest hit ball by any Braves player this year. Ham.
Yeah.
Are you just sort of whelmed by him? Or what do you think?
Yeah, no big deal. I'm waiting to see what he's all about. No, it's amazing. I mean, there's no real angle to cover that has not been, you know, significantly covered already. But, you know, I'm just so gratified that he did it immediately, right?
Oh,
like he came up and like was the impact player, jaw-dropping talent. I mean, that homer he hit on Thursday against the Reds and the fan who caught it, which was so great. I mean, he just crushed that ball. So I'm just glad that it just happened immediately. There was no warm-up period. And then all of a sudden, we have the two youngest guys in the league – and they're both all-stars if they play the way that they played this past week, right? I mean, it's just it's almost happening too fast. And obviously we need the pitching and the pen to catch up. But the offense is ready, and Acuna is ready, and it just was so exciting. And his speed was great. I mean, I'd heard of his speed. Watching him go first to third, you know, to set up that winning run on Wednesday, I believe, was amazing. And it reminds me, the last thing I'll say on this is it just reminds me, you know, Ender had an at-bat against the Mets last year where he, you know, sort of a bloop single that he stretched into a double and then he hustled to third and then came home and truly just manufactured a run with speed and just hustle, right? The sort of intangible things. And you get the feeling that Acuna has all the intangibles as well, in addition to power, great contact, speed, great defense. Like, he knows how to win at baseball. And I could not be happier. I'm so excited.
Curtis, what are you thinking?
Well, it's probably been a while since the Braves were the lead story on Baseball Tonight on ESPN. It's also been a while since I was actually watching Baseball Tonight on ESPN. But we were watching something, and it happened to come on, and they showed some highlights of some other games. But the third highlight was the Braves game today. And then they proceeded to spend about 5 minutes talking. David Ross and Tim Kirkjian both talked about the Braves and how awesome the Braves are and how exciting the Braves are. And, of course, so much of that is simply – because of Ronald Acuna and the attention that he's bringing as the number one overall prospect, and the fact that he's come up and, as Ham mentioned, just delivered immediately right off the get-go. And the amazing thing with the attention that we all focus on Ronald Acuna is that Ozzie Albies is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, he's leading like everything right now.
And to think that we have both of these players, and has again, as Ham mentioned, they're, you know, what, both 20 years old, and they're both on the Braves. It's just It's bewildering. But
it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe.
It seems too good to be true.
And the speed aspect, too, that's my last point, is the Braves have basically spent the last decade and a half, almost two decades, really not focusing on stealing bases at all. They've since 2000, they've had over 100 stolen bases one time, and it was in 2012, and they stole 100 bases. They already have 24 stolen bases through 27 games. And obviously that's not all Acuna, but he's bringing it all again, Albies, Inciarte, Dansby Swanson. And it's for those teams that won all those games that I sort of hated with the Upton brothers and Hayward, you know, that hit a lot of home runs and struck out a lot. And we're plotting. I mean, this is such much more fun baseball to watch than that was.
It is so fun. I don't remember which game it was, but earlier in the week, there was, you know, guy on first, guy on third. It was probably Ender on first, I'm guessing. But I don't remember. But guy steals second base. They throw to second. And, you know, yeah, it was Albies. And Albies was on third and comes home.
Yeah.
Right? It was a little league run. It was so awesome.
Well,
so,
and you've got to wonder if the pressure – I mean, that does put a lot of pressure, obviously, on the pitcher, on the catcher, on that whole operation. So is that leading to bad pitches? You know, they're thinking so much about, and is that fueling all this offense as well? So it's just fun. I mean, Tim Kurkjian talked about how he sat there and watched a Phillies Braves game on the airplane because he couldn't stop watching the Braves.
You know, and back to the steals, Kurt, Acuna has won. I mean, Acuna hasn't even started stealing bases yet.
Yeah.
Think of what happens when he gets going.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, imagine having a couple of 30-30 guys on your team.
So crazy. My God, and Ender's almost halfway there through the first month. So just a quick sort of side note on the Acuna call-up. Don't you think that the call-up was as much about the train was sort of careening off the tracks, losing two games to the worst team in baseball.
Hardly.
Let's change the energy, don't you think?
Maybe.
I think they were just grateful that he'd had a couple good games strung together. Things were going bad in Cincinnati. Let's get him up here. That's my theory.
That's what my dog thinks.
Yes. Well, your dog and I are. Simpatico.
A lot alike. You think a lot alike.
Exactly.
Well, that first Reds game was bottom feeding. It was so awful.
Right. And then Tuesday, at least they showed life and had that great comeback and then sort of the ugliness and the extra innings. But yeah, I mean, it was very depressing start to the week. And God, they just keep turning it around. Nothing goes, no bad stuff happens for too long so far with this team.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of some ugly stuff, Friday night was ugly in Philadelphia with Teheran not hitting more than 88 on the radar gun. He left after three innings with what ended up being a sore back muscle. After the game, he said he just slept funny, should be okay for his next start. On Sunday morning, the Braves scratched Mike Soroka from his scheduled start with the Stripers in case Julio could not go this coming week. Just a quick note on Soroka, who's been killing it. And we've mentioned him before, but he's just been killing it in AAA. His ERA is below 2. His whip is below 1. He's striking out almost 5 guys for every walk. So he's ready. And it's just a matter of time. Now, late on Sunday, DOB reported that Teheran threw a side session. He felt fine. So all systems look go for Wednesday in New York. But Soroka is ready and waiting.
I cannot wait. Bring it.
I know, exactly. All right, so speaking of Albies and Acuna, in Sunday's final in Philadelphia, Brian Snitker shook things up by batting Albies first and Acuna second. It was all sort of couched in, we want to get Ender going, which doesn't make any sense, just crazy manager speak since he's been getting, you know, much better over the last 2 weeks. We're going to bat Ender ninth, the pitcher eighth. We're going to put Albies 1 and Acuna 2. So collectively, on Sunday, they notched 4 hits. Those happened to be 3 doubles and a homer, plus 3 walks, only 1 strikeout. So, guys, I'm not sure how much Snitker will keep doing this, but I hope that this is truly a glimpse into the future for the batting order.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Where do you put Inciarte then? I mean, he's such a – I feel like there's more slots for Acuna to do well in this lineup than there is for Inciarte. I still think he brings a lot of value as your leadoff guy.
He's just – he doesn't walk, though. You know, he's not an on-base guy.
Yeah.
That's always been the problem with Ender. It's just Snitker's like, oh, he's kind of small and runs fast, so he has to bat first.
So you maybe know, he bats just, second.
Really, he should bat, I would say, fifth or sixth.
Hmm.
That's what I think. Like, if we really had a cleanup hitter, which of course we don't. Now I get that Acuna could be there.
We do.
Do you think Acuna's our cleanup
no.
hitter?
Oh.
No. Freeman. It's Curtis that wants Freeman there.
Oh. Yeah, okay. But you know, look, I'm fine with have your best hitter bat third. But if you go Albies, Acuna, Freeman, cleanup hitter to be named later, Markakis 5, Ender 6, you know, third baseman 7, shortstop 8, pitcher 9. To me, that's, you know, and you can flip third and shortstop. But to me, that's really the batting order right now. Now, I grant you there's a ghost in you know, the cleanup spot right, right. now. But
was that a failed reference to Joey Bautista?
No, him. Yeah. He has to be good enough Jose. To get called up first.
Oh.
He has to hit AAA pitching.
Yes, you know? That's true. I guess that is a prerequisite.
Which he is sort of not.
No, we'll get to that.
So, yeah, so let's talk about Jose Bautista.
Well, I got to say I don't hate Ender 9, the pitcher 8. I mean, I know it's sort of
gimmicky.
It's a little gimmicky, but I mean, I'd like to see data on it. It's sort of unconventional. I know other managers have done that as well. Either if they've got a guy who's slumping or, you know, just a lineup needs a spark. But I like the first person that a team sees is Albies, and then Acuna, and then Freeman. I mean, that's a pretty formidable top three. And then all of a sudden you cycle through the lineup once, and then you have Ender added to that. I don't mind that.
The thing is, Ender is not the worst batter on the team, and now you've limited his at-bats as much as possible. I just think it's dumb. Hmm. Sorry, Ham.
That's all right.
I'm not going to say "and by extension" or anything like that.
I don't think you need to.
That would be mean.
Yeah, but since you just explained it and said you're not doing it, that's much better.
You just got mansplained.
I did.
I feel better about it.
Good. Yes. Yes.
All right. So speaking of dumb things that you like, Ham, let's talk about Jose Bautista.
Let's talk about you,
this
Steve.
This could be a long list.
Let's talk about you and Kurt.
All right.
Anyway, I got to be brought.
Oh, please.
So at the start of this week, both DOB and Bowman reported that Bautista's call-up from AAA could be by the end of this week and that he'll immediately be inserted as the starting third baseman.
Yeah, some people had shots in the dark to that extent.
Yes, they did.
Some stupid people. Anyway, go ahead. I'll stop. Not bitter.
In Bautista's 7 games with Gwinnett leading up to Sunday, he was 3-for-21, all singles, 4 walks and 5 Ks. On Sunday, he had his best day so far in AAA, going 2-for-4 with a double. So, Curtis, he's still batting 200 for his AAA stint this year. What? So the whole thing. But I guess I'll just ask, what do you think about the decision that he will be the everyday third baseman when he comes up?
I think it's dumb. This seems like they went out in search of a solution to a problem that maybe they didn't have. And it's almost like you were feeding them all your Camargo reticence. And so they're just sort of not willing to buy into Camargo as a guy who can be even given a shot at being the full-time third baseman. I mean, I understand that he's had some injuries now, but he's never even really been given much of a chance to have that job in any capacity. And so
and I just want to say quickly, and given what we've seen from Camargo this week, I don't understand the reticence.
Yeah, this week is 313, 389, 750, including a three-run homer on Sunday. So give the guy the opportunity. And it's like now maybe he starts to get hot and we're going to bench him. And we're going to hope that he can, you know, be ready at a moment's notice to be a pinch hitter. And, you know, I mean, I don't understand it. I'd rather this team be young and exciting than old and predictable.
Yeah, I mean, I get the we don't have a cleanup hitter. Markakis in the four spot isn't really ideal. And Anthopoulos wants a home run hitter, you know, in the four hole. But it just seems really sort of cart before the horse to decide that when he comes up, he's simply going to be the third baseman. So, Hammy, bring some objectivity here.
I think you're both stupid. Yeah, I mean, I think that you're just assuming that they're going to give him a forever leash on this, which we don't know. I mean, maybe he still has a short leash. Maybe, you know, I mean, we talked about how silly manager talk earlier. You know, maybe part of that is to feed his ego, right? I mean, maybe it's to give him a boost or make Bautista feel good about, you know, and just secure when he comes up. And I don't know. So maybe it's a psychological thing that they're doing. I mean, I think that I just don't think it's that high risk. I mean, Camargo certainly has proven that he can do it. But he is not a cleanup hitter, and if Bautista can come, if he can come up and, you know, hit for power and provide some security of Freddie in the four hole, and round out the lineup a little bit, I mean I think that's good too, right? So I mean I where it goes bad is if, and you guys sort of painted this picture last week, is if, you know, he weeks and weeks of ugly at bats, right? And striking out in the on deck circle and all that kind of stuff. Like, then we need to worry. And if Snicker's afraid to pull him then, but I mean, I think why not bring him up here, let him play a few games, see if he makes the offense more dynamic. We still have Camargo as a defensive replacement. We still have him off the bench. We could still platoon. I mean, Flaherty has fallen off a lot. So I don't think he's in the equation anymore.
Well, but Flaherty got the majority of the starts this week. Like, you know, back to Camargo for a second.
Yeah.
You know, Snicker's still riding Flaherty.
I think that's wrong. I think Camargo should be starting over Flaherty.
I mean, Flaherty's not the future. Camargo is at least maybe the future.
And he's 4 years younger. He's hits from both sides of the plate. Are 7 years
he had
younger.
Great at bats this week.
Yeah.
Great at bats.
Yeah. But so I mean, it is a big gamble, and I think if all the things play out with Bautista like you guys are saying, then obviously it's stupid and it looks foolish. But, I mean, maybe not, you know. Maybe there is a little bit of life left in that tank. We can get that cleanup hitter even for a short stretch. Makes the lineup even more dynamic. I don't know. Maybe that could happen.
And we get him away from that tough International League pitching.
All right, guys, let's go in and look at some numbers. Go by the numbers. So the first number, 3.42, that is the Braves starters ERA, which is good for third in the National League. I was surprised. You know, the starters have not been mind-blowing. They certainly aren't going deep enough in games, which is just another thing putting pressure on the bullpen. But the Braves starters have not been that bad. And to have, you know, to be where we are through the first month, knowing that it's only going to get better when Gohara rounds into shape and when Soroka comes on, you know, we haven't had a steady fifth starter. You know, Folti's got a 2.53 ERA. His FIP is not as good, 3.87. Newcomb's got a 4.23 ERA. His FIP is 3.65. Like, the starting pitching is not getting a ton of press, but it's really not so bad.
No, it's not. I mean, they need to go deeper into games, right? I mean, I think that getting into the fifth and being at 90 pitches is where they're weak. But Folti's look good. Even Tehran. I mean, we had that one blow up. I mean, but we talked about him. We've got a lot of good pieces there. Newcomb looked good except for that one inning. You know, I mean, right? when the game that Acuña got called up, I guess, is the game he pitched, right? And, you know, for the first part of the game, he was at, like, he had thrown like 20 pitches and 18 strikes or something like that, or, you know, 17 strikes. And so, and then he gave that one up to Votto. But he's great, you know, and then McCarthy is a nice surprise, and Sanchez has had a good start, right? So it's, you know, it's just, it's not sustainable the way that they're pitching now. They need to pitch deeper, and our bullpen it has to be better to protect them.
By the way, it didn't sound right. And no, when Acuña came up, Whistler pitched.
Is that right?
By the way. Yeah. That was Whistler's.
Oh, okay.
Second
yeah,
start.
Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking of the afternoon game where Acuña hit that homer. Yeah, but yes, you're right.
Well, and Gohara just got reinstated and is going to go to Gwinnett. So hopefully it won't be too long where we get to see him come back up and contribute as well.
Exactly. All right. So the next number is 13, and that's the number of steals Inciarte has this month, which is just crazy fun. I mean, we talked about it some, but all the running is great. The Braves are second in the NL with 24. Kurt, you mentioned that. The Nats have 31. You know, and Acuña got his first steal in Sunday's finale in Philly. The numbers, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of a crazy pace, but there's no reason to think the numbers should drop a bunch, especially with Acuña, you know, sort of entering the fray.
Yep. And Albies getting more comfortable, right? And maybe using some of his speed as well. I mean, Albies is a 30-30 guy as well, don't you? Right?
Doesn't he? Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was one of the ones I was referencing in that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just great. Now it's just like, and I think, Kurt, like you said, like, do we have the management that knows how to use that type of speed?
Well, look, Eric Young Sr. is the guy that has really pushed this. And I think that most of the guys have just free reign to run when they want.
Well, and there's no doubt. And I know that somebody will point out, but in a lot of those teams were not built that way. I mean, the Frank Wren teams were not built for speed, and Freddie did not like to steal bases. And, you know, the analytical stuff sort of suggests that stealing is sort of a waste of an out, you know, because you're just running for no reason. But it's just, so I understand that there are reasons why they weren't stealing at certain points in time, but to have only stolen over 100 bases in the past 18 years seems sort of crazy.
All right, last number is the number 4, and you mentioned Gohara, Kurt. That was the number of innings pitched and earned runs that Gohara gave up in his last AAA start. And yeah, they activated him off the DL, but they're keeping him in AAA to get more rust off. You know, but look, Gohara was amazing at the end of last year. He's coming. I mean, this is going to happen. And holding his spot will continue to be Anibal Sanchez. It looks like the DOB reported Sunday night that he should be ready for his turn Saturday against the Giants when the Braves are back home. All right. So, guys, next up, we'll look at the week that Albies and Dansby had. But first, a quick break. Time for the Osby Swansby's tracker. All right, well, we see how our two middle infielders did this week. All right, so Dansby really fell off.
Can we start with Ozzie?
No, we'll save the good news. Yeah, exactly. So Dansby was 3-for-25, all singles, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. It really was an ugly week. His slash line was 120, 185, 120.
And 14 pop-outs to the catcher.
Yeah. But he looked great in the field. I mean, I'm not just trying to throw something in. I mean, he really had some beautiful plays in the field, including Sunday, that short hop that he took and ran across second and threw to first. It was just a beautiful double play. So it's not affecting his defense.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk about Ozzie, who was 7-for-27 this week. Of those 7 hits, 3 were doubles and 3 were home runs. Ozzie hit 3 home runs.
I think that was my shot in the dark earlier. But just knowing that he can do that, right? That he can have a 3-homer, 3-double. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh,
so crazy. So 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. His slash line, 259, 285. His slugging, 704. Yeah. So, by the way, at the completion of Sunday night's games, Ozzie leads the National League in hits, home runs, doubles, and is second in slugging. It is just bonkers.
And he's 21.
Just, yeah, 20.
20, yeah.
Yeah, 20. Second youngest guy in the majors. All right, let's move on to Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just concluded. And we'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from Bill Miner, who predicted that Freddie Freeman would have a higher on-base percentage than Joey Votto in the Cincinnati series, and that Ozzie Albies would have a higher slugging percentage than Rhys Hopkins would in the Philly series. I'm feeling good about the Ozzie one. All right, so starting with Freddie and Votto. So Freddie's on-base was 500 with 8 hits and 2 walks in 20 plate appearances in Cincinnati. Votto was at 450 with his 5 hits and 4 walks in 20 plate appearances. So check mark on that one. Now for Ozzie and Rhys. Rhys slugged not much at all. 182 with 2 singles in the series.
Oh, wow.
Ozzie, on the other hand, slugged 750 in Philadelphia. So congratulations, Bill. You are our second winner of the Atlanta Baseball Talk Koozie. All right,
people want these koozies. They're stepping their game up this year.
Yeah. Well, that was an intricate one. That was required a lot of math, as I know, Steve.
Yes.
Figure that out.
I've Kurt to thank for that. Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to pick them every week from now on.
All right. Let's see how the three of us did. So Hammy, in the bag for Jose Bautista, mm-hmm. predicted that he would start a game this week and hit a home run in his first game. Gotta hit AAA pitching first for that shot in the dark.
Didn't even do it in AAA.
That is true. I wasn't gonna say that mean comment, but thank you for saying it.
You're welcome.
All right, Kurt, you had the Braves hitting 14 homers this week in the 2 band boxes they were playing in. They did hit 8, 3 of which were hit by Ozzie. Okay.
I think they were on track. I think they maybe I felt like they were hitting 2 a game in Cincinnati and then sort of slowed off at the end of the week.
But 8 homers in and of itself, so crazy. All right. This team that wasn't going to hit any home runs.
Right.
All right. And my prediction was that the Braves bullpen would record 4 total walks the entirety of the week.
In every inning they pitched.
Yes. And then Rex Brothers came out of the bullpen.
They did walk 4 guys in the first game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Which made the shot in the dark a little tougher. So here was the rest of the games. 3-1-1-2-3-2. A grand total of 16 walks this week by the bullpen. Unbelievable. All right. So that concludes April. I won with 2 shot in the dark. Hammy, you had 1. Kurt, you are yet to get on the board. So let's see what you can do, Kurt. What do you got for this coming week?
I'm going to go back to the homer well and add a little wrinkle here. The Braves hit 10 homers this week and steal 12 bases.
Ooh. All right, all right. Hammy, what do you got?
I like that little wrinkle. I have that in the series against the Mets, that the Braves starters will give up fewer runs and have more strikeouts than the Mets starters. But the Braves bullpen will give up more runs and record more walks than the Mets bullpen does. So starters, less runs, more strikeouts. Relievers, more runs, more walks.
Get to work on that now, Steve.
Yeah. I'll send you a little algorithm.
Gonna take Thursday off. all right, folks. Remember, you get to play 2 each week. So don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Tuesday. Braves are off on Monday. Get it in via Twitter. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. And you could win aforementioned Atlanta Baseball Talk koozie if you hit it exactly.
So, and Steve, did you give yours?
No, Kurt. Now he's going to win.
Did I give mine? What do you mean? I didn't. I'm sorry. Damn. All right. So
Way to go, Kurt.
I'm predicting a Dansby bounce back this week. He's going to hit over 325 and have at least 2 extra base hits.
He's not going to win.
Yeah. All right. Guys, let's finish things up by looking at the week ahead. So 6 games this week, finishing up the road trip with 3 against the Mets and then back home for 3 against the Giants. And let's look at the matchups. So Newcomb faces Syndergaard and his 2.86 ERA. Next up, Tehran faces DeGrom for, I think, the third time this year. DeGrom has a 2.06 ERA. He's not given up a run over his last two starts. Finishing up the Mets series, Folty will face Steven Matz and his 4.98. The Braves have not seen Steven Matz yet. And then it's back home for three with the Giants. So Brandon McCarthy will face Johnny Cueto, who has been just stupid good.
Yeah.
He has a 0.84 ERA. And then on Saturday, if things go as planned, Anibal Sanchez will get the start. He will face Chris Stratton and his 3.90. And then closing out the week, Newcomb gets his second start. He'll match up against Ty Block and his 4.10. So, Hammy, what do you think? Six games this week. What's the record?
I say we go 3-3. It's 1-2 against the Mets, 2-1 against the Giants.
All right, Curtis?
I'll go 4-2. 2-1, 2-1. They're on a roll.
Yep. I'm right there with you. 4-2 this week. Got to just figure out a way to beat Syndergaard or DeGrom, but we can do it. We beat DeGrom last time we faced him.
Yeah, totally.
All right, folks, and that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and newly on Spreaker. That's right. Everyone listens to Spreaker.
Hey, now.
Hey, go find us there. All right, as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.